Turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. Peter, we're writing a series in the midst of Peter, and it amazes me of his life and all that's going on in his life. We are right in the midst of it. Jesus is about a year and a half into his ministry, and Peter is right there with him, and Peter is seeing all of his sermons and his love and his compassion and his truth, and he's there when he fed the 5,000. He's there when he done some healing, casting out the demons, raising the dead. Peter is starting to walk in the Spirit. It's happening. It's happening. And Peter is starting to experience Jesus in his life, understanding his salvation. He's been around Jesus personally for possibly a year and a half, where we catch up the narrative this morning. And he's starting to realize, I don't have to respond in my stupid, stick-your-foot-in-the-mouth person that I am. I just have no filter, and I'm starting to get some filter. You know that? And he's starting to, I can walk with God. John 6, verse 63. One of the worst verses in the Bible is John 6, 6, 6. That'd have to be a bad verse, wouldn't it? John 6, 63. I trust you're there. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that brings alive. The flesh profiteth what? The flesh profiteth what? I don't trust you catch that. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. They are from the Lord. They are from the Spirit of God. And if they're from the Spirit of God, they are what? Life. Don't you love to see the little baby's life? Little Everly with her big old eyes. Life. And all the other babies in the nursery with their lives. Little kids. I had the privilege of running the water slides last Sunday evening. And all the little kids coming down the water slide, at first they were real timid. And then secondly, they were just jumping in and going all the way under. Brennan come in, jumped in, went all the way under the whole water thing, stuck his head up, and he was all fired up. And life, enthusiasm, joy, purpose, meaning. It is something. He says, folks, my words are spirit, are from God, are divine, and they produce life. They produce joy. They produce purpose, meaningfulness. And he says, that's what you want. The New Living says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. The very words I have spoken unto you are spirit and life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Does God know everything? Wow. These people had no spirit. These people were full of the flesh. Is that right? Full of themselves. Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Come on. How cheap. And it was just all about Judas. And sad. Verse 65. And he said, therefore say I unto you that no man can come unto me, Jesus said, except it were given unto him by my Father. Aren't you glad you've been called to be saved? Huh? Don't ever get over it. You've been called to be saved. You can't get saved unless it's been given to you of the Father. Here is John 6, 6, 6. Here it is. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were there just to get their bellies filled. They weren't there to be like Jesus. They were there. Judas was there. He thought one day this guy here is going to be the king of Israel. And I'm the treasure of this group. And one day I'm going to be the treasure of the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to be what? Important. No, it's all about him. It's not about us. And Judas had it all wrong. And so he sold out. He betrayed him. Sad. And it says from that day, many of them, they didn't really believe. They were just following because of the crowd. They was following for the fun, for the food. And they weren't there to know him, to love him, to enjoy him, to fear him, to obey him. No. Sad verse, John 6, 6, 6. If you don't remember anything in my sermon this morning, you'll remember John 6, 6, 6. Okay? One of the worst verses in the Bible. But I want you to know John 6, 6, 7, and 8 are one of the best verses in the Bible. Here it is. Then said Jesus to the 12, "Will you go away also? Are you going to leave me too?" Then Simon Peter, old Simon, don't you love him? Simon Peter. Notice he asked all 12, but Simon answered. That's one of his problems, but that's one of his good points too, okay? He spoke up. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Is Peter growing in Christ? Is he in the Spirit right there? He is in the Spirit. He is fully in the Spirit. You are the only Lord God, King, Savior in our life, and you speak truth. You have the words that takes us all the way from hell to heaven. You're the one. And Jesus is going, you know, Peter, you're in the Spirit. You got it. Look at 69, great verse. And we believe and are sure. Isn't that a great statement? Hope you have that. You not only believe, but you are sure. Are you there? Are you there? I trust you're there. That's being a Christian. You know, well, I sinned yesterday. I must be going to hell. Aren't you glad he can forgive you and you don't go to hell, huh? Aren't you glad you can have eternal security and he saved me forever? It was him. I believe and I'm sure that thou art that Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of the Old Testament, the Son of the living God. And the Son there is, he came to earth. He came to earth. He's one with God, but he came in flesh. Now we have God in heaven and God on earth, but they're one. He's the Son. He's one with the living God. He's active. He does things. He's alive. It's growing. Do trees look like they're alive and growing? Look like it. No, they're just sitting there dead. But they're not dead, are they? They're growing. Come back in 10 years and you'll go, whoa. But do you see it change from hour to hour? Now they tell me, some of you great farmers back there, can the corn grow an inch or two every day? Oh yes, can you hear it grow? Patty, can you hear it grow? Oh, you can smell it grow, okay. You know, but it's alive. Now, sometimes it takes time to get there, but it's alive. It has purpose. It gives hope and joy and health and everything. He says, he's the living God. He's in the Spirit. Peter is in the Spirit. Peter figured out how to get into the Spirit, and he's in the Spirit. Let's keep. Let's all go to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be in the Gospels this morning, so it's not too far. We're going to be in Matthew mostly. We're not going to be in John again. Matthew chapter 16, and then we're going to jump to 14, and then we're going to be in Romans, and then we're going to be in Matthew again. So we're only going to be in Matthew and Romans. Matthew chapter 16. Everybody there. This is the sequel text to Mark, what we just read about Peter. Mark chapter 16, verse 13 is mainly our text for the sermon this morning. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some of them, thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "Whom do you say that I am?" I love that. Other people, I want you to know, other people can say anything. Is that right? But who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Children, teenagers, I trust you realize you're old enough to have Jesus as your God. And it says, "Whom do you say that I am?" And here, I love Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, some of the other disciples wish he would shut up sometimes so they could speak. Simon Peter, come up, and answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." The other text said, "That Christ, the Son of the living God." And I love the response here in verse 17. Everybody look at it. Matthew 16, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, son of John. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's the Spirit. You didn't get this from your own thinking. You didn't get this from human reasoning. You didn't get this from some man-made teaching, some religious teaching. God told you this. The Spirit of God spoke to you, come out of you, responded through you. This is a God response, a truth response, a divine response. This is the Spirit of God. I want you to know it's one of the best descriptions of what the Holy Spirit does. This is not human. This is of God. I trust you experience that. This is of God. When you're tempted to get angry and you don't, there should be more amens there, a lot of amens. When you're tempted to get angry and you don't, it's still pretty weak. That's God. Because is our natural slippery slope to get angry? Huh? Is our natural slippery slope to have judgmental thoughts of other people? Putting them down is a judgment. We have a natural tendency to sin, to be in the flesh, to have jealousies, to have pride, to not have gentleness and not have humility and all these things, patience. That's natural. Can you get into the flesh real easy? All of you should say what?
Yes.
Can you get into the flesh real easy?
Yes.
Can you get into the flesh real easy?
Yes.
I'm there a lot. I find myself, I'm in the flesh. Is that true? I'm in the flesh again. Here I'm thinking about me, me, me. Here I'm thinking about, well, I deserve this better. You know, you start griping and complaining. Now you might just do it in your mind, but you're in the flesh again. You need to really come to grips with yourself to recognize and to admit, I'm in the flesh. You got to do that often. I don't think we do that enough. I want you to catch this. Peter, he's in the Spirit now, and things are going well. Chapter 14, flow back two chapters. Chapter 14 of Matthew. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. It's a wild story. And when the disciples, okay, here's the disciples. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, did they get into the flesh or the Spirit? Very quickly. The flesh. Catch the flesh. Note the flesh here. They, okay, that were in the boat, were troubled. Here they're in the flesh. They're fearing. Saying, "It is a spirit, it is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. They were in the flesh. Did they know they were in the flesh? I don't think they did. I think our flesh is so dominant in our lives so much that we don't recognize it until we get to be mature in Christ. And it's your first response normally. And you're agitated, or you're mad, or you're revengeful, or you're selfish, or you're pity partying, or whatever. You're there. That's your normal response. I want you to know that is flesh. That is sin. And we need to recognize it and admit it and to say, no! And do it quickly. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, get into the Spirit. Trust me, I'm with you. Don't fall apart, don't doubt, don't go to pieces. Get in the Spirit. It's amazing. Verse 28. And Peter, here's Peter. He's nobody else speaking, everybody else in the flesh. Peter answered him and said, catch this, Lord, that's the first word that's in the Spirit. Lord, if it be thou, the word if could be translated, since it is thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Is Peter getting into the Spirit? He's trusting God. The other guys are screaming and crying and, And Peter stopped, got out of the flesh and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to walk to you on the water like you are. That's Spirit. You need to recognize what is flesh in your life and what is Spirit. That's what I want you to get out of this sermon this morning. Because we have so much flesh in our lives that we don't even know it or recognize it. Just like losing weight. Eating after 10 o'clock. Is it bad to eat after 10 o'clock? No. Can you lie to yourself there? I do it all the time. Yeah. I want you to know, we need to know when we're in the flesh. You need to start asking God. You need to be in this book so much that when you're in the flesh, your conscience pops up, the truth pops up, and you realize it. I'm in the flesh. If not, you just keep going. Let me tell you, the flesh gets worse because Satan is involved in the flesh and he has come to kill and to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll mess you up. And if you don't know it, oh, I didn't know it. Oh, yeah. No, catch when you just go into, if you can catch when you just go into the flesh, the quicker you can catch that, the quicker you can get out. And you don't have to stay there for an hour or all day. Can you get depressed and stay there all day? Yeah, you start thinking about the wrong things, you just stay there. The Bible says, think on what? These things. Don't think on those things. Think on these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Huh? That's the key. And, well, they did this to me. No. Whatsoever things are pure, is that right? Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things of good report, what? He'll be with you. And we got to do that. Peter, they're all in the flesh, but Peter stopped, got into the Spirit and said, Lord, bid me to come to you. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. He's in the Spirit. Verse 29, he said, come. Peter's still in the Spirit. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, did that take the Spirit to come down out of the ship? Man, that takes a lot of faith. He had to believe that it would hold him. Is that right? That's Spirit. That's Spirit, not flesh. No flesh. Do you know you either have to be in the Spirit or in the flesh? You can't be half and half. It's either flesh or Spirit. If you're not sure you're in the Spirit, you're probably in the flesh. And you got to start recognizing it. You know, eating at 10 o'clock is not good for me. I got to quit. I'm working on that. You know, eating the second portion is not good for me. I've got to work on that. Staying away from the kitchen at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got to work at that on Sunday morning. I got that down pat. I don't eat any donuts in the kitchen. You can eat them all. I'll watch you. Okay? If you do not know that we have donuts in the kitchen at 9 o'clock, you need to come and find out. That's right. Because there's a lot of fellowship going on. Where there is food, there is fellowship. And very, very important. Peter's in the Spirit. Catch this. Peter he got out of the boat. Keep on verse 29, chapter 14, Matthew. And he walked on the water. Is that in the Spirit? Peter's staying in the Spirit. He was in the flesh. Everybody was afraid. It's a ghost. No, it's Jesus. Oh, if it's you, Jesus, bid me to walk on the water. Come. He steps out on the water. He's still in the Spirit. And he starts walking on the water. Is that right? He's still in the Spirit. He's still in the Spirit. He's been in the Spirit for a while. Isn't that wonderful to be in the Spirit for a while? I hope you experienced that. In the Spirit for a while. He was still there. He was still there. Can you get back into the flesh just like that? Yes, you can. Each of us need to understand that. I can get in the flesh. I can be in the flesh pretty quick. I can get in the flesh right here preaching a sermon. Is that right, Jack? You can get into the flesh. I can tell a joke and all of you like it. And I can tell another one. I can tell another one. Is that right? No, I want to be in the Spirit. And the Spirit. And as he was in the Spirit. Catch this. What got him out of the Spirit? Let's catch it. Verse 30. And when he saw the wind boisterous. Was the wind boisterous all the time? The whole time? He didn't see it because he was looking at Jesus. Now the wind was blowing the whole time. You know, it was, you know, Lord, can I get out of the boat? Yeah, come on, you know, the boat's all over the place, you know, go step out, okay, I'll step out, you know, it was already boisterous, all over the place, but he saw Jesus, is that right? And he stepped out in faith, and he walked in faith. He was in the Spirit. All of a sudden, he's walking on top of the water. Wow! But he started doubting, didn't he? Does our flesh, is it so easy that our flesh rises? Hope you understand. I want you to catch that strongly. That the flesh can rise quickly. And here we see it. And when he saw the wind boisterous, wild, blowing, he was what? Afraid. Back in the flesh. And began to sink. And he cried saying, Lord, save me. He was getting back into the Spirit. Catch, he was in the Spirit. He got out of the boat, walking on the water, saw the thing, got back in the flesh. And then he cried to Jesus and got back in the Spirit. I want you to know, you can get back into the Spirit very quickly. You can get out of the Spirit very quickly. But you can get back into the Spirit very quickly. Catch that point. And he says, Lord, save me. Verse 31. And immediately, isn't that great? Lord didn't say, well, I'm just going to let you drown. You know, you only walked 3 steps and I'm not going to do you anymore. You know, does Jesus ever badmouth us while when we were in the flesh, when we're trying to get into the Spirit? No. Will he always take us back into the Spirit? Yes. You know, he never, well, you know, Peter, you've already denied me. You've already said this. You've already done this. You're just a big mouth. I'm just going to quit working with you. Will God ever do that? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he doesn't keep a record of our flesh? I only got one amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't keep record of our flesh? You need to rejoice at that because you wouldn't make it to heaven if he did. Because you're in the flesh a lot more than you realize. And if us sinning again could lose our salvation, none of us would make it to heaven. Wow. Because I sin 4, 5, 10, 20 times every day. And you say, wow, I'm in the flesh. There I got it. I got mad again. There again. I got selfish again. There it again. I got jealous. There I got critical. Is that right? I got judgmental. There again. He got in the flesh very quickly. He got out of the flesh very quickly. God reached down and what? Saved him. He'll do that every time. And it's so neat there. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, verse 31, and caught him and said unto him, here's the only rebuke he gets, O thou of little faith. No, he didn't say no faith, little faith. Wherefore didst thou, here's the flesh, doubt. A tragedy comes in your life, and your first response is doubt. Dispel it, pull faith in, start quoting some Bible verses, get back in the Spirit. Is that right? Your first response many times is flesh. We're flesh. We're fallen creatures. We're weak creatures. Do we need the Spirit all the time? And don't get down on yourself when the flesh shows itself or reveals itself, because you got it all there. He left you with the flesh. I wish he had taken away, but he didn't. He left us the flesh, but he got back in the Spirit. Nope, let's keep reading, verse 32. And when they were come into the boat, Peter and Jesus, the wind ceased, and they, the guys that were in the boat the whole time, verse 26 also, that were in the ship, came and worshiped. They got into the Spirit. They were in the flesh the whole time, probably laughing at Peter walking on the water, probably laughing at Peter sinking in the water. But then when Jesus got in the water, all the storm ceased. They realized God's here. And they got back into the Spirit and they worshiped. Amazing. Saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Turn to Romans chapter 7. What is the flesh? What is the flesh? What is the Spirit? Got to catch a little bit of this. Romans chapter 7. If you've not read Romans 6, 7, and 8 for a while, you need to read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Because it tells you how that you, chapter 6 says, you're saved. You don't have to sin anymore. You got this Holy Spirit. You don't have to sin. He's there. You'll have tendency to sin. But he doesn't dominate you anymore. You don't have to do it. You can claim the Spirit's victory. Chapter 7 tells you how to do it. Chapter 8 tells you you can do it. And it's wonderful. 6, 7, 8 of Romans. Chapter 7, verse 20. Everybody look there. I've just chose these few verses. Chapter 7 of Romans, verse 20. Trust you're there. Everybody, children, adults. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I'm a believer. I'm in the Spirit. I got God in me. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. My flesh, it's there. I wish he would take it away, but he didn't. Do you know, if we didn't have the flesh, we'd never have any victory? That's how you have victory. You got to lose to win. You got to fall to get up. And so he left the flesh there, so every time we would sink like Peter, we'd cry for help, and the Lord help us up, and we have victory. That's how you claim victory. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good in the Spirit, evil in the flesh is present with me. They're there, both of them. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the Spirit. I'm a believer. I got the Spirit. It's pumping. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, truth, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members, my flesh and the Spirit. It's there. If you're a believer, there's a battle. If you're not a believer, there's not a battle. You got the conscience, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you can sin and it doesn't bother you very much, you need to check to see if you're saved. That's heavy. It's heavy. Well, preacher, I made a profession when I was 6. I don't care. I made a profession when I was 20. I don't care. And if the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't bear witness, I don't care how many prayers you prayed. Because when God's in you, you just can't do wrong. You're bothered bad. That's why he wants you to have victory in him and joy and peace in him. There's a war going on. I mean a war. It's just not a little battle. It's a war. Is that right? It's a war. Verse 24. describes the war. Oh, wretched, wretched, wretched. It's miserable. It's meaningless. It's condemning. It, you know, I have no hope, no help. I have hell. You know, I have all of this sin in me. And I have tendencies to sin. And it's a battle. It's a fight. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this constant misery of me falling into sin all the time? Verse 25, but thank be to God. Is that right? Victory. You have the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him. Resist the flesh. Yield to the Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, the Spirit, and with flesh the law of sin. We have the Spirit and the flesh. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that are saved in Christ, who walk not after the... but after the... there it is, flesh and spirit. No, yes. No, yes. I'm there again. No, I got to get out of here. I'm falling again. I'm back into the flesh. For the law of the Spirit is life. Sounds like John chapter 6. In Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to do that. But I'm going to be tempted. And temptation is good because that's how I claim victory. Hope you understand that. Back in Matthew chapter 16, and I close. That means I have 10 more minutes. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we've just had Paul, or we just had Peter to tell us, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, verse 16 and 17, Matthew 16. Your inflation blood didn't tell you that, verse 17. Now Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples that he would have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and rise again the third day. I don't think they heard the third day. Then Peter took him. He just said, you're the Christ. This is 10 seconds later. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you. Nobody's going to kill you while I'm here. Now, was Peter trying to do what was right? Was he doing wrong? He was trying to do what was right. He really was in his mind. But he was acting in the flesh. He missed the whole story. No, Lord. Look at verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, here's Jesus, get thee behind me, who? Get thee behind me, who? You're in the flesh, Peter. You don't catch what's going on. You're hindering me. Thou art an offense unto me. Here it is. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, that's the Spirit, but those things be of men, that's the flesh. The New Living says, you are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from the human viewpoint and not from God's. He was in the Spirit. You're the Christ, Son of God. Then Jesus said, I'm going to die. You can't do that. Flesh. Spirit. Flesh. And he says, man, you're missing it there. And then he says, chapter 16, verse 24, and I close with this. This is how you stay in the Spirit. This is what the secret is. I want to say it again that Jesus never recalled Peter's back in the flesh moments. Peter, Jesus doesn't keep record of all of those and lambast you and hit you up, because now we think of that. When somebody does us dirty, do we remember it? Let's all shake our hands. I was talking to Tim yesterday, and a guy told him, I have forgiven you, but I've not forgotten what you said. And Tim turned to him and says, well, you haven't forgiven me. And the whole issue is, you know, those are the issues that Jesus doesn't keep all the record. Well, you failed me here, you failed me here, you failed me here, you're going to fail me here. No. He's so excited every time you come back into the Spirit. Every time you come back into every time. Because you got to confess. You got to admit you're in the flesh. Acknowledge you're in the flesh. You got to confess it, forsake it, and recommit and claim to be in the Spirit. You got to get out of the flesh to get into the Spirit. So you got to admit it and deal with it. And you can do that very quickly. And then you'll slide back in and you get out. You say, don't stay in the flesh too long. The key is, I'm never going to go to the flesh. Oh, you are too. You're weak. You're human. Now, the longer you live for Christ, the less you do it, I'll say. But you still will do it. And you got to admit it. Sometimes we do it in different ways when we get older. And we make excuses for it. And we're back in the flesh. You got to admit it, forsake it, confess it, get back in the Spirit. Slide back, get out, get it. I want you to know you can walk in the Spirit more than you know if you try. Ask the Lord to help you to reveal when I am in the flesh. How do we do that? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Everybody's look at it. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself, cut off indulging in self, say no to the flesh, take up his cross. I sent y'all a paper. If you have an email, how many got my email from this week? How many got my email? If I don't have your email, you can't get these wonderful papers. That paper was good, wasn't it? That was a great paper. It was. I tried to find something. I don't write these things. I try to find somebody that wrote them, and like John Piper or something, and give you stuff. But if I don't have your email, I need you to put your email and your name on a little piece of paper and put it in the Dropbox there by the office so that you can be on our email list. And I try to do that every week when I'm preaching. And to take up your cross, the email said, to take up our cross is just not having a bad day. To take up a cross, the cross was a symbol of what? Death. We're to die to self. This whole phrase is the same thing. To deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus, and to find your life, to lose your life, is to find your life. It's all to die to self, to die to me. It's not me I'm living for, it's Him I'm living for, and I got to switch my whole thinking of living for Him and not living for myself. Living to make Him the Lord of my life, not to make me famous or pleasurable or rich or whatever. I'm living for Him. I'm going to work for Him. Is that right? I'm going to my neighbors for Him. I'm going on this pleasure trip for Him. I'm going to take Him with me, and we're going to do it for Him and others. Everything. And to deny yourself, to take up your cross. Did Jesus take up His cross? And follow Him. In step, in sync with Him. And this last phrase here is verse 25. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. If you live yourself, life for yourself, me, mine, stuff, run over people to get more stuff. If you live your life for yourself, you'll lose it. You'll waste your life. You'll waste every breath. It's all for self. It's serving self, serving pride, serving pleasure. But whosoever lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now I want you to think about this all week, that last part. Whosoever shall lose his life, I'm gonna spend my life serving others and serving Jesus. Is that right? That's all I'm gonna do. Today I'm gonna try to bless Jesus with every word I say, with every act I do, with every thought I have. I'm gonna try to bless Jesus, not myself. And I'm gonna try to bless others. Is that love your Lord your God with what? All your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as your. That's the key of life. If I will lose my life serving others, ministering to others, sacrificing for God and others, I'll find it. That's deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Where are you today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Talk with me. in the flesh, in the spirit. I want you to ask yourself all through today, am I in the flesh? Am I in the spirit? You got to answer that. Am I in the flesh? Am I in the spirit? When you find yourself in the flesh, admit it, deal with it, confess it, forsake it, claim forgiveness, reconnect to God, get back into the spirit. Then after a while you realize, I'm in the flesh again. Do the same, get back in the spirit. You got to do that. If you don't do that, you will notice you're living in the flesh most of the time. You're getting mad at one another. You're getting jealous. You're getting envious. You're judging one another. You're being critical. That's flesh. Spirit. Think on these things and you'll have peace. I challenge you to sense and to know and to recognize when you're in the flesh this week, and get in the spirit. And when you notice again, quickly get in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. You're going to slip back into the flesh. Get out, get out. Get quickly back in the spirit. All it is I surrender all. How many this morning say, preacher, I needed this message? You see your hand. Preacher, I need this message. I need this message. All over the place. My hand's up. I need this message. I need it. Man. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about of being in the Spirit. I sure know a lot about the flesh, but I don't have that part where I can ask your help and get back into the Spirit. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'd love to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just lift your hand. I pray for you. I pray for anybody. I don't see any hands.